It's time for another exciting edition of the Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle. Stay tuned as we discuss local and national sports from Southeast Missouri and beyond. And now, without further ado, let's get on with the show. And welcome to another exciting edition of the Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle. I'm Mike Bueller.
I'm Mark Sanders.
And this is Kyle Roberts.
And we have another full and exciting show today. We have got the National Football League. We have got holiday tournaments. And we have got a lot of fun stuff. But we are going to kick off like we always do with the National Football League.
All right. It is NFL Week 17. And most of the games either have or will have playoff implications. Let's look back at the Christmas Day experiment. First of all, I think most people that I've seen or heard from were pretty happy with Netflix's coverage. Didn't have a lot of streaming issues. I actually loved the fact that the game was on Netflix because I was able to stream it on my phone and watch it in the kitchen while I was cooking without having to listen to my family complain about hogging the TV for football all day.
There you go.
Kansas City has finally reached that next level, that playoff level. They go into Pittsburgh, outdoors, bad weather, tough Pittsburgh team, and Kansas City physically imposed their will on the Steelers that entire game. With the win over Pittsburgh, Kansas City clinches home field advantage. Their path to the Super Bowl is two wins at Arrowhead Stadium. If Kansas City is not, once again, the favorite to win the AFC, I just don't know who is. And here's the reason why for that. Yes, Buffalo has had a great season, but Buffalo is going to have to win at Kansas City. Baltimore just made Houston look like Tennessee, frankly.
Yeah. I would still take the Texans with the roster issues and the Tank Dell injury over the Titans any day.
Well, absolutely, but I mean Baltimore's in a different, they're playing at a different level than the Texans are right now. So, sure, Baltimore might be able to go into Kansas City and win, but Lamar Jackson's going to have to prove it because all he has done so far is shrink in these big playoff games, and we know that Kansas City rarely, if ever, shrinks in a playoff matchup. The other thing to consider is that KC has been dealing with injuries all season, and now essentially they have a month to get healthy. It's going to be a month until they play a meaningful game again.
And there is one more thing, Mark, and we were discussing this yesterday. In the movie Spaceballs, the good guys were able to win because of the power of the Schwartz. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs do not need the Schwartz. They have the Swift.
Hey, you know, if you have the world's most popular entertainer on your side, I don't see how that can be bad for your overall karma. In contrast, we had a terrible game last night. Christmas has thrown me off. I don't know what day of the week it is. I suppose that this is Friday, technically, and yesterday yep. was Thursday. So we had Thursday night football. And the Seattle Seahawks managed to beat the Chicago Bears by a score of 9-6. It looks more like a Mariners-White Sox game to me. But with that dubious win, Seattle moves to 9-7, and they are still in the running for either a wild card spot or possibly clinching the NFC West. The Rams will be hosting the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona's eliminated from the playoffs. They're currently sitting at 7-8, but they would love to be spoilers to the Rams. The Rams are currently sitting as the third seed in the NFC playoffs at 9-6, but they haven't clinched a playoff spot yet, so they could be completely out of it, especially if they lose to Arizona. And then I believe the Week 18 matchup is Seattle versus the Rams, and I don't know where that game is going to be. I did not look ahead to Week 18 just yet. So the NFC West is still undetermined at this point. Looking at Saturday's games, of course, once we get to Christmas time, we can enjoy Saturday NFL games. The LA Chargers currently sitting in the sixth seeded position in the AFC playoff race. Again, they haven't clinched. None of the wild cards in the AFC have actually clinched except for Baltimore. And actually, Baltimore is ahead now in the AFC North. So now Pittsburgh is the one wild card that has clinched. So the Chargers will be going out to New England. Kyle, as you said, New England has played better. Their record doesn't show it, but Drake May is learning how to be a professional quarterback. And since that game is going to be in New England, the Chargers are a warm weather West Coast dome team. I know that Jim Harbaugh conditions his teams to be tough and play tough, but they haven't been playing that well. They've actually been playing worse football over the past few weeks. So it's potentially conceivable that New England could upset them at home. And then we've got Denver going to Cincinnati. Denver is currently in that last wild card spot. They have not clinched either. They're sitting at 9-6. They'll be taking on the 7-8 Cincinnati Bengals.
Who are still alive for the playoffs, believe it or not.
They've not been mathematically eliminated. The question is whether the Cincinnati defense, which has more holes in it than the hull of the Titanic, can do anything to stop Bo Nix.
Cincinnati has a defense?
Allegedly.
They have guys that put on pads and wear the right numbers, but I don't know what you call them boo is playing defense.
Yeah, it's essentially, can Denver's defense stop Joe Burrow more often than Bo Nix will be able to score points against the Cincinnati defense-like substance that they will put on the field. I'm going to put a bookmark in Packers Vikings. I'll get back to that because I got a lot to say about that.
Oh, before you do, I want to say that as a Tennessee Titans fan, I am doing the unthinkable and I am passionately rooting for the Patriots tomorrow.
No, why is that?
Because if the Patriots win and the Titans lose out
to Jacksonville,
which could happen because we've already done it once. That means we can jump ahead of both of them in the draft and could draft number two. And if the Giants do the unthinkable and pull a win or two, we could get the number one pick.
That's how far down the scale you have gone, Mike.
Exactly.
This is pathetic of you.
Yes, you're rooting for the Patriots and the Jaguars and the Giants to win and for Tennessee to lose.
Exactly.
All right, this is officially sports hell for you, Mike.
someone check his temperature. Legit, what is going on here? I've never seen so many teams at once actively tanking for the first pick. Like you would have thought Dion was the generational number one. This is absurd.
And that's the problem because, I mean, there is not a franchise changing player in this draft. There's just not. There's some good players. There's good parts. But is Shedeur Sanders going to add 5 or 6 wins to your team? No, he's not. What's his name from Georgia? Is Carson Beck?
Oh, Carson Beck is doo-doo butter. No, sir.
Okay.
No.
He's
Cam Ward of Miami.
Okay. But, I mean, Miami couldn't even win their conference. They're left out of the college football playoffs. I would not waste a number one draft pick on any of these college quarterbacks that are coming out. Not a single one.
Yeah, I go offensive line because it is deep for offensive line in the 2025 draft.
And we need line. And frankly, I think if the Titans get the 2 pick, I think we should take Travis Hunter.
Yeah, get you a bona fide weapon. Your receiving core is kind of old. Tyler Boyd's not a young man, Calvin Ridley's nice when he actually gets to see the ball, which isn't consistently. Y'all need a lot of help.
If you're going to continue to roll the dice with Will Levis, then he needs a quarterback coach. He needs a Kevin O'Connell or a Josh McCown or somebody who can actually teach him how to play quarterback. Because obviously he has all the physical skills. I believe I wrote this to you guys earlier this week. He's like Nuke LaLoosh from the movie Bull Durham. He's got a million dollar arm with a 10-cent head.
And he doesn't have Kevin Costner to help him.
Yeah, that's absolutely what he needs. So Atlanta is back on top, if you can call it that, in the NFC South. They have the same record as Tampa Bay since Tampa Bay went and coughed up a hairball at Dallas. Thanks, Baker. Thanks, Baker. Great job. Anyway, Tampa and Atlanta are tied at 8-7. Atlanta swept Tampa Bay already this year, so they have that head-to-head tiebreaker. Atlanta has to go and play at Washington. Jaden Daniels is playing like Rookie of the Year. I think he's probably going to win that. They're sitting at 10-5. This is how good the NFC is at the top. They're 10-5, and they're the seventh seed.
Wow.
Nonsense. It's awesome at the same time.
Yeah, it really is. So Washington has not clinched, however, the playoff spot. So they're going to be playing against rookie Michael Penix Jr. I think it should be a good game. I think Washington should win. But Penix is obviously a better quarterback talent at this time than is Kirk Cousins, so I think they made the right decision. Carolina will be playing at Tampa Bay, and you can't rule Carolina out. Again, they've been playing better, and they would love to play spoiler within the division. And then Monday, we've got Detroit at San Francisco. San Francisco's eliminated from the playoffs, but Detroit's defense is decimated, and don't think that Kyle Shanahan won't have his team playing for pride against the number one seed. So the 49ers could potentially help out the Vikings. Now let's talk about the Vikings.
Yes.
They're currently, depending on what sports books you're looking at, a point or a point and a half underdog at home to Green Bay. Now I think part of this is just the media's absolute adoration for the Packers. The national media loves the Packers the way that Archie loved Veronica, or the way that Betty loved Archie, or the way that Romeo loved Juliet. It's this ongoing, endless bromance with all of these sports pundits, with everything Green Bay. You know, and when you consider, oh, it's Green Bay, it's Lambeau, it's the frozen tundra. Folks, it's a suburb of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Okay? Think Lenny and Squiggy from the Laverne and Shirley show. That's what we're
dealing with this morning.
That's what we're dealing with. So I told Mike earlier this week I'm gonna start calling them the cheese curds. So they're going in to play the Vikings at home. The Vikings already won at Lambeau earlier this season, but Jordan Love was hurt. Love's been healthy. He's been playing lights out. Do I think that Green Bay could win this game? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Green Bay could absolutely win this game. This is the litmus test for Minnesota, and I'm going to make a bold prediction here. If Minnesota beats Green Bay this Sunday, they're going to go on next week to beat Detroit on the road, secure the number one seed, and then they're going to the Super Bowl. So everything.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's my bold prediction. If the Vikings beat Green Bay this Sunday, the Vikings are going to the Super Bowl. That's my bold prediction.
This is very risky of you, sir.
Well, I'm not saying they're going to beat Green Bay, but I'm saying this is the litmus test. It's like, are the Vikings a great team? Do the Vikings have the ability to beat the best teams in the league? And I think right now, if you're going to rank the teams in the NFC North, I would put Green Bay ahead of Detroit. Even though Detroit beat Green Bay recently, I just think right now, with all of Detroit's injuries, neutral field, Green Bay beats Detroit. So the question is, can Minnesota beat Green Bay again? If the Packers win, it's not the end for the Vikings, but the Vikings will probably be a wild card at that point and have to win three games on the road to make it to the Super Bowl. Much tougher test. I have a lot of other reasons to talk about Minnesota at this point, but I'm not going to belabor the point. Now, if Minnesota secures the number one seed, their path to the Super Bowl gets a lot easier. Just looking at how the seedings would fall out, if Minnesota was the number one seed, they're likely to play one of the wild card teams in the divisional round. Probably Washington, just looking at how that all plays out. The other option other than Washington would be either Tampa Bay or Atlanta, the AFC South winner. And this is just looking at seedings. For the NFC Championship, then, they would probably get a rematch with either Green Bay or Detroit, or the NFC West team, I'm thinking it's still going to be the Rams or the Eagles. So it's certainly not an easy point. But right now, the Green Bay could beat Detroit. Green Bay could absolutely beat the Rams. Green Bay could absolutely beat Philadelphia. So if Minnesota can beat Green Bay, I'm going to say that Minnesota can beat any other team in the NFC. So it all comes down to Sunday. Good news for the Vikings. Just about everybody is healthy. We're getting Ivan Pace Jr. Awesome. Back on defense, as well as Jalen Redmond. They're really going to help against the run, which they're going to need to stop Josh Jacobs hauling the rock for the cheese curds. And then we should, unless they have to amputate his foot, Harrison Smith is going to play. I know he's had a problem with a foot injury, but he's going to play. There's no way that Hitman Harry is going to miss this game against the Packers.
Yeah, I honestly think that the winner of the out of one of y'all three of the NFC North, that's who's going to win, go to the Super Bowl and represent the NFC. I don't trust Philadelphia, not because I don't trust the roster. I don't trust Nick Sirianni and his loud mouth. Pardon, almost, you know, let old one fly. Washington's not there yet. They still have a lot of holes on defense. They're young, but they're going to be a tough out. I think if the Rams make the playoffs, we'll be a tough out. Atlanta, I think they're going to wind up winning the South, but they're such a wild card because of the rookie quarterback element. Their defense has really been stepping up lately, generating the pass rush that they were hoping to have early on with Matthew Judon and Jesse Bates, and their secondary is finally gelling, too, because I thought they'd have the best secondary in football at the start of the year, but they're finally getting things going in Atlanta. But I truly think if you win, and as crazy as it sounds, I'm kind of, you know, riding that. I'll ride that wave with you. Even though I'm Coach MCDC all day, I will put on pads and run through 40 brick walls and give myself lifetime CTE for Dan Campbell. But I feel some kind of way about if it's you or if it's Green Bay. The Packers have the least amount of flaws on their team. They're extremely balanced, and they're very disciplined on the defensive side of the ball. So I'm kind of with you there. Yeah. I really am.
Yeah, you know, it really comes down to, you know, Brian Flores and Sam Darnold. You know, can Brian Flores solve Green Bay's offensive advantages? Can they stop the run? Can they put pressure on Jordan Love and force him into making mistakes? And, you know, how effective will Sam Darnold be in unlocking the key to scoring against Green Bay's defense?
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be a great game. Let's switch gears now to the college football playoffs. But before we get in, Kyle is a connoisseur of college football, and he's got a few words to say about some recent bowl games, including one featuring his favorite school, the Arkansas State Red Wolves.
Yeah, shout out to Butch Jones, who's been getting a lot of crap over the last few years from our fan base for not being consistent and not winning games when they mattered. But last night, he became one of only a handful of coaches to have led four different programs to bowl wins, notably joining Lou Holtz, as the Red Wolves defeated Bowling Green last night 38-31 down in Birmingham, down in Birmingham on the campus of South Alabama. The name of the game is not coming to me right now, but this was a special teams feast. Arkansas State blocked a field goal. They returned a punt 67 yards for a touchdown. And we got hoodwinked, bamboozled, and led astray by Bowling Green on a fake punt, which their man was wide open. I rewatched that play, and as it turns out, because the pass looked phenomenal, you're thinking, that's a punter? Are you sure?
Yeah.
It was a 40-yard spiral. It had touch and everything. It was a great-looking pass. Come to find out, Bowling Green's backup quarterback switched his number just for this game to run this play.
Wow.
So got hoodwinked, but we were able to pull it off. 218 passing yards from sophomore quarterback Jalen Rayner, and all three touchdowns caught by Corey Rucker, who was a first-team All-Sun Belt selection at wide receiver. So shout-out to my Red Wolves, 8-5 record, our first bowl win since 2019. I'm very proud.
Yeah, that's great, although they're not going to get the credit for the win because that fake punt is all over social media.
Well, you know what? Fine, let it be. You know, it is what it is, but we handled our business. But I also want to give a shout-out to the man who should have won the John Mackey Award as the nation's best tight end. Harold Fannin Jr. is a junior for Bowling Green. Came into the game with 100 receptions as a tight end, and he did not win the nation's best tight end award.
Wow.
Yikes.
Got to give a huge shout out to him. They use him like an H-back. I tend to, if I'm going to give a pro comparison, and it's a steep because I love this man, reminds me a little bit of Shannon Sharp. He's undersized, but he's too big for DBs to deal with, and he's too fast for linebackers to deal with. So he's someone to keep an eye out for going forward in the 2025 NFL draft. So major congratulations to A-State for handling their business. Now we'll see if that school on the other side of the state can win their bowl game today.
Yeah, and who's Arkansas taking on?
Oh, good Lord. That would require me caring. No, I kid. And I say that simply because we do play them finally next year in football. The University of Arkansas finally relented to let us play them in football. Awesome. So while I look that up, I do believe that, let's see. Oh, Texas Tech. In the AutoZone Liberty Bowl tonight at 6 p.m. in Memphis at Liberty Bowl Stadium. So Razorbacks are 6-6 coming in. They'll be looking to finish their season with a winning record against a former member of the Southwest Conference in Texas Tech.
There's another bowl game coming up in Tennessee, a little bit to the northeast, up in Nashville, where Missouri is going to be taking on the Iowa Hawkeyes. Is that New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, Kyle? Do you know?
It's Eve, or it's either New Year's Eve or Monday.
And that is a New Year's Eve game. I'm super excited about it. I know everyone says, "Oh God." It's not New Year's Eve, it's the 30th. Let me clarify that. Oh God, Iowa, they're so boring to watch. And yeah, watching them try to move the football is like watching paint dry, but they do have an outstanding running game. It's typical Iowa football of the modern age, going up against a very physical Missouri defense that is a little suspect to the run on occasion.
Yeah.
But the one thing that they are able to do is generate a ton of pressure. And they don't have to blitz a lot. This would be Brady Cook's last game. I like to call him the Mizzou made man because he did not want to go anywhere but Missouri. He looked up to it. He watched Blaine Gabbert growing up. So this means everything to him. He will have finished with a Missouri win. He'll finish with a winning record of 26-13. Which would make him one of the winningest quarterbacks in school history.
Yeah, that's terrific. And we also got good news several days ago that Theo Weiss Jr. Said that he was absolutely going to play in this bowl game. And really, Theo has been Brady Cook's favorite target with all of the schemes and double teams that Luther Burden III always attracts out on the field. That often leaves Theo Weiss Jr. in single coverage. And Cook, once he got healthy enough to throw the ball downfield, has just been taking advantage of that. And I expect them to pick on the Iowa secondary early and often in that game.
Iowa is extremely tough to score against. They have at least two starters on their defense that are projected to be first-round picks. But I also believe that our ability to call plays and create motion and mismatches on the field will give us an advantage because Iowa, again, they're about as innovative as a caveman discovering fire for the first time. They don't know what to do with a football.
Well,
and amazingly, I guarantee the next Iowa tight end that you've never heard of that caught 12 balls goes on to be an All-Pro like George Kittle did too, because Iowa.
If we're going to talk about Iowa tight ends, you better name check T.J. Hockenson here.
Well, of course, and just run through the game at T.J. Hockenson, Tony Moiaki, Dallas Clark. It's not fair. They'll catch 9 balls and be drafted in the 3rd round, with the exception of Dallas Clark, and go on to be all pros.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
make it make sense. Now, Hockenson was every bit of a star catching that ball for Kirk Ferentz.
Now, when we're looking at Missouri's offense, let's not overlook our running game, Nick Noel, and the other
Marcus Carroll.
We've got two really good running backs that can punch through the line, and then once they get past that first wave, they've got the speed to make it all the way downfield. So I really like Mizzou's chances. I feel pretty confident in predicting that we're going to win that game over Iowa.
I feel the same way. Also, before we transition, you mentioned our running game. Those two running backs both came in the transfer portal from the Sun Belt Conference, and Missouri did just sign the nation's leading rusher among freshmen out of the Sun Belt in the portal, a young man by the name of Ahmad Hardy, who ran for over 1,200 yards at Louisiana Monroe this year as a true freshman.
Wow.
He will come to Mizzou with three years of eligibility remaining. So that will be a huge, huge get, because I do believe both Carroll and Noel are seniors.
Well, that's going to be a great weapon for what it looks like is would be Missouri's new quarterback transfer from Penn State, Bo Pribula, or Pribula. I have not actually seen Pribula, but we'll just call him Bo. And hopefully Bo knows football for the Tigers next season.
There you go.
All right, let's move on to the college football playoffs.
Yes.
It was a disappointing first round with nothing but blowouts across the board. We'll talk about that here a little bit more in just a second. But we've got one game on New Year's Eve. It's the Fiesta Bowl. This is the one I'm most looking forward to. Penn State, who I vastly underestimated, but I'm not going to apologize because I don't like them. But Penn State will be taking on the Broncos of Boise State, and I am praying, lighting candles and praying that Ashton Jeanty will just run all up and down the field against that Penn State defense. What do you think his chances are, Kyle?
He put up over 130 yards against Oregon, and that was a game that took overtime early in the year. He's the one of one running back this year in college football. Penn State is very, very tough on the defensive side of the ball, but this also is a neutral site, and I think that will help. That will help Boise State out a lot. What would make me happier is if this game was on the Smurf turf. I'm still salty about this. Because I need one of these hotty-totty, holier-than-thou blue blood programs to be forced to go there in December.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. Our other three CFP quarterfinal games are on New Year's Day, January 1st. The Peach Bowl doesn't look like a good matchup. It's Texas against Arizona State. I figure that Texas ought to have a pretty easy time of that. The tough thing about beating Texas is if their starting quarterback isn't that effective, their backup is Arch Manning.
I truly believe Arch Manning is better than Quinn Ewers.
Well, I agree with you on that. Hold on just a second. My daughter is trying to call me, and I'm going to have to tell her to wait for me. So anyway, yeah, Texas ought to handle Arizona State. Arizona State got that first round bye because they ended up winning their conference, and all the conference winners got those automatic byes.
Yep.
The Rose Bowl, boy, I think this is going to be a good game. Ohio State versus Oregon.
Ooh.
Yeah, that looks like a clash of the Titans there. And then the Sugar Bowl features Notre Dame against Georgia. I think that's going to be a good game too. You know, Notre Dame – you know, in the past 20 or 30 years, you can say that they've underachieved in the college postseason, and that may be true. But Georgia has been up and down this season. You know, they've not been, you know, just the powerhouse juggernaut that we've seen from past Georgia teams. But you can certainly say this, they know how to win in the postseason. So, you know, except for that Texas-Arizona State game, it looks like it's going to be some really remarkable matchups.
I have my concerns about Georgia's offense, especially in the passing game, because Carson Beck has been awful this year. By comparison, he's thrown 12 interceptions. He will not play in this game. In all likelihood, redshirt freshman quarterback Gunnar Stockton will play in that game. And Notre Dame is going to be licking their chops. Their defense has been immaculate since the Northern Illinois debacle. They've locked everyone up, including Heisman vote-getting quarterback Bryson Daly of Army, and also Heisman considerate quarterback Curtis Work of Indiana. They got locked up. So in that game, I honest to God, don't be shocked if Notre Dame wins, because Georgia has struggled to move the ball, and they've had games where they've looked beatable. They gave up over 30 to Mississippi State at home.
Yeah,
that's a terrible football team. Arizona State's saving grace this year is the best running back not enough people talk about, and that's Cam Scatabone. Also, Kenny Dillingham should be getting consideration for National Coach of the Year. Arizona State was picked to finish dead last in the Big 12 this year, and they wound up winning the conference. If an upset happens, again, I'm not shocked. But if they get blown out, I'm not shocked either. I truly think, though, the best game, because this feels like the finals. This feels like the championship game. And also, you guys not even, did it not occur, we've got an old-school Pac-10, Big Ten Rose Bowl.
Yeah, that's going to be great. Well, we're coming up on a hard deadline here. It is a busy time of the holiday season. So let's do a very quick summary of the Christmas tournaments that we have. We'll start with the Poplar Bluff Showdown. Mike, what's shaking over at the Poplar Bluff High School gym?
I was there for a bit last night and got to see the Poplar Bluff Mules take on the Urbana Tigers from Fighting Illini country. They are almost literally in the University of Illinois' backyard. And the Mules rally to win that game. They are in the semifinals at the Showdown. They are playing at 7 o'clock this evening against Izard County, Arkansas, which is a small school in northern Arkansas, not that far south of like West Plains or that area. And if the Mules win, they would play for the championship tomorrow at 3:30. There's a pretty good chance that if the Mules do win, they will be playing Vashon in a rematch of the 2005 state finals. Vashon played Trinity Christian out of Jackson, Tennessee yesterday evening, and absolutely demolished them. They looked like the number one team in Class 4 in Missouri.
Yeah, and there's also a girls' tournament going on over at Twin Rivers High School, the Lady Royals Classic, and we've got a matchup between Poplar Bluff and the powerhouse team in Southeast Missouri among the ladies, the Donovan Donettes. What's that shaping up as?
That's tonight at 6 o'clock. I will be there. Donovan is the hands-down favorite to win this tournament. They beat number 2 seed Neelyville by 28 points earlier this month. So if anybody, you know, and it's no disrespect to the Lady Mules, Soleil Dugas has done a great job with that team. They have surpassed I think they've tied their win total of last season already, and it's not even the first of the year. But, and it's, so it's no disrespect to them. That Donovan team is just really good. There is, you know, if Poplar Bluff can pull it off, that would be great. But I don't know if anybody in that tournament can beat Donovan.
Yeah, it should be exciting. We'll be watching that game. And I was at the opening day of the 68th annual Bloomfield Christmas Tournament, and it was chalk all the way down the line. All of the top seeds advanced to the right side of the bracket, which is going to be going on later on this afternoon, while all of the lower seeds moved to the left to the consolation bracket. Every single game yesterday was a blowout, except for Van Buren against Donovan, and that was an overtime thriller in which Van Buren edged the Dons by 1 point with a layup with about 8 seconds left in overtime. So very exciting game. The rest of the games were just what you would expect from these teams. But going forward, I think the matchups are really good. Some of the key games that I'm looking at today are Bernie against Kennett and Dexter against Risco. The other two games on the schedule are Puxico against Richland. Those are regional rivals. That should be a hard-fought game. And then East Prairie was really impressive, and they're going to take on Van Buren, and the Bulldogs are going to have their hands full with the Eagles this afternoon, or this evening, excuse me.
It's going to be interesting, and as we wrap up, who do you think is going to win that tournament?
I'll tell you what, going into it, I would have thought Risco, but Bloomfield really threw Risco off their game. They typically score more than 70 points, and they barely managed to score 50 yesterday. Kennett was impressive. Puxico was impressive. Just based on what I saw yesterday, I would say that East Prairie is my favorite to win the whole thing this year.
The defending champ. And so it's going to be interesting, and we'll be at that Monday night, Mark. And on that note, we are going to wrap it up. I'm Mike Bueller.
I'm Mark Sanders.
And I'm Kyle Roberts.
And you've been listening to The Sports Desk with Mike, Mark, and Kyle.